Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NBA Top Shot Weekly Tip-Off Show, brought to you by OTMNFT.com. My name is TJ Lasig. I'm one of the co-founders here at Own the Moment, and this is episode 58 of the podcast. This is the show where we bring you all the news and information, and I'll tell you what, it is the last week of the NBA season. Sad but true. We've got one or two games left in the NBA Finals. With me, as always, to break it down, we've got first Justin. Justin, a lot going on in the last 30 minutes in the NFT world. Right before we come on air, it's like kind of blowing up the agenda. Oof.
I'm just glad, like, you know, Top Shot prepared us for it. We're used to getting that kind of last minute news. And yeah, I mean, I was actually putting together like the challenge analysis. I wanted to get a pretty up-to-date one before we release it on the show here. And then we just have, I wasn't even watching this in real time play out. You're the one who put in the Slack chat that, hey, there's this really cool thing. A 12-year-old's been working on this project and released it. And that just got flipped up on its head. And we're still trying to learn more and we'll dive more into it. But gosh, crazy space.
Crazy indeed. And we've got the people's champion with us tonight.
Champion?
Typically behind the scenes. Well, yeah, kind of the anti-champion.
He's our egg.
He's our egg. The OTM egg himself, producer Coop. What's going on, Coop?
What's going on, y'all? Yeah, still an egg. We'll see if we can settle the egg debate this week. We're going back to the well to give a little bit of a sneak preview of the Coop pick this week. So shout out chat, shout out those people loving the intro beats. Shout out everyone that's out there kind of showing love. We love you guys back.
There's a music video, Coop. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like, how do you like your coop, fried or fertilized? And we got to know answer. Like maybe it's over easy, but I don't know. It's not definitely in just a full shell that looks like a stone zero.
I'm an over medium kind of guy. If I had it perfectly.
Shout out to Coop. Everybody just hit the like button for Coop. He needs it for the moral support after we reveal his pick by the end of the show. I mean, you guys don't even, it's not even spoiling it at this point. It's just revealing the curtain, and what is behind the curtain is the typical last place finish. All right. Let's start with the latest news here in the NFT space. Cause there's probably some people that saw it swirling around Twitter. There's probably some people that have no idea what it is. And basically what happened is that over the last couple of hours, the story has come out about Justin just dropped off the stream. Not sure what happened there. About a 12-year-old that launched an NFT project, the Whales. And it was then since, hello, Justin, welcome back.
I think a 12-year-old just hacked into my computer.
they didn't like, as soon as booted. I brought it up, it's just like, oh, well, Justin's gone. Yeah, so came out, and then now it's swirling around that the story is fake, or that it's somebody impersonating this 12-year-old, and the 12-year-old is real. And oh my goodness, it's just like we were literally talking about how this is such a great story, and how, you know, this kind of shows the beauty of NFTs and how anybody can get out there. And then what do you make of it, Justin? What have you been reading for the last 30 minutes or so?
Yeah, no, and I'm still trying to figure it out. First off, we are not giving up on Top Shot. It's the finals. Yeah. We're in the
deal
middle.
With that. Deal
Did
with
someone
that.
Say that?
Poker
Calm
prior.
Down, Poker
deal with that. We're here. We're talking Top Shot. We will be talking Top Shot. Thank you for dealing with that. Go on,
but,
Justin.
Yeah, okay. So we're at a place right now where we're seeing about a project a day, if not two, three, four projects a day being released out of these NFT avatars. We've seen projects of two people we've seen projects of two groups that for all, you know, positive intent had no idea the other ones were creating the same thing. And they're just putting out the same thing. Like there are just so many people that are out here trying to create the next avatar project. And the truth is, if you create something that's not great, you're still probably going to make some money. So there's incentive just to put it out there and try. But I think a lot of the motivation is, well, how do we become that next Bored Ape? How do we become whatever that next one is? Or if you can't beat it, then how do I come up with a gimmick that's going to at a small amount of effort or be unique or something. And you can kind of say like the crypto funks was a gimmick where you're just taking a derivative of a very well-known project. You can kind of say that some of these more recent ones where they're just making it extremely simple with just the bits are, you know, they're unique and they're low effort or whatever. And I guess from the best we can tell is for this new project that came out about whales, they decided, whoever's behind it, someone behind it, I'm really not sure. And what we're saying is really just all we've seen across the last really half hour. But apparently they came out and said, hey, here's the story of how I sold all of these NFT avatar projects. And I'm only a 12-year-old. And I did this all ABC basics, blah, blah, blah. And apparently, like, you know, that was really cool. I love the idea of that. I don't know how complex it is to actually create one of these. I know there's definitely some open source stuff and there's some things you can kind of copycat off, but I also think it's pretty complex. And like for a 12-year-old to be able to do that is awesome. And it's a great story. And I think a lot of people wanted to buy into it because they knew like, hey, this is a chance of really blowing up. Think about, you know, you may even get mainstream media coming up and saying like, hey, this 12-year-old made millions off of NFTs. That's awesome. And then we dig a little deeper. People dug a little deeper and saw that, like, hey, this 12-year-old actually has his own YouTube channel. This 12-year-old is like a really smart kid. He's been around the block. He's really big into Minecraft, stuff like that. Okay, great. Then what we find out is apparently while that person is real, he may have actually been impersonated and that he actually had nothing to do with the project, but people who were aware of him thought it'd be a great idea to pretend we're him. And that's going to create this level of interest and all the positives that I had initially started with around why that's really cool. They tried to, you know, harness that and build off of it when in reality, this kid may have nothing to do with the project and they're just pretending to be him. And this now goes back to all these fears around these anonymous projects. And we've seen the rug pulls. We've literally seen projects called rug pulls to make fun of those. We saw the Appypon eggs where they built up this big idea about there's something great inside these eggs. And before we even got there, the developers just kind of ran away from the project and left and just left everyone screwed, taking millions of dollars. And now we've got people literally impersonating 12-year-olds to try to sell their projects. I hope, you know, we're really big in NFTs. We still think there's lots of hope here and love the avatar projects, but maybe this is now going to be a tipping point to, you know, help push that, hey, you know, let's actually put a face to some of these projects. It's a lot harder for someone to impersonate a 12-year-old or to do a complete rug pull and scam people out if we know who these people are and put a face to it. I understand why it's attractive to not want to put your face out there. It's a lot less risk. There's definitely some personal benefits to it. But at the end of the day, if this is $1 million, $1 million+ endeavors, you think about how much like these is for up for grabs. We as a community should say, hey, I want projects that are backed by people who I can see their face and I can trust them and know that this isn't just someone going to try to, you know, pull a rug, pull a scam, impersonate a 12-year-old, whatever it is. That's my initial first, you know, quick take off of it. Gosh, it's crazy. Never would have imagined something like this could happen or would happen. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty wild stuff. And I guess that's what happens in this space. A lot of Anons running around out there that, I mean, you know, even some of the big Twitter personalities are just completely anonymous people that we don't know who they are. And I'm sure we could talk about this until we're blue in the face, but definitely did want to at least acknowledge it as it was really swirling around Twitter. And we're still trying to digest and unpack everything that happened, but crazy, crazy story. Regardless, we'll keep the people updated. And
just one quick comment. I haven't followed the last 30 minutes, so Justin, thanks for the update and keeping me up to date, because I was following it initially a little bit and then running around with some family stuff. If in fact it were kind of the 12-year-old and his dad who he learned to code from and kind of helping him through it, that's like an awesome idea or awesome project. I just had one kind of quick question, just clarification. So there was like 3,500 weird whales, right? Is that the right number?
I don't know.
Okay. So I thought there was like 3,500, and then I believe they were minted at like 0.02. So I was just 0.02 ETH. So I was just trying to figure out like what was the total amount of dollars and if that was even just hyped up. So I was just trying.
I'm getting kicked out again. I'll be right back. I might still be here. Okay. I was trying to do a quick calculator and I clicked on a link up top. Okay. So we said 0.0275 times 1800 times 3250. So that's 160,000.
Yeah. That's what I was getting to. I was just trying to figure that out. So,
but I imagine there's also secondaries in those royalties and stuff inside.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I was just trying to bring some clarity to some of the numbers that were getting thrown around initially on Twitter. And like you said, we'll try to figure out some of this later, but yeah, Anon projects, this is some of the stuff that could potentially happen in this space, unfortunately, just with how these things come out. Thought they were pretty cool, and I'm sure we'll see some more information about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Top Shot. Yeah.
Imagine NBA Giannis as a 12-year-old. Have you seen those high school clips of Giannis? I mean, that was not impersonating a 12-year-old. That was a man in a 12-year-old's body putting up those clips. There. You guys happy? Let's get into some Top Shot. Let's get some NBA.
Let's talk NBA. We are now potentially one, maybe two games away from the finals. Justin, your Suns are on the brink of elimination. Unfortunately, we do not have a game tonight. We have to wait an extra day. Producer Coop, I know you have some thoughts on that in the space.
I'll let Justin go first, and then I'll give some thoughts on that.
Unless sure. Justin is frozen. Justin looks frozen to me. Is he frozen to you?
Yeah, he's frozen.
Unbelievable. Someone get this guy some internet. All right, I'm going to kick him out until he figures that out. So we were going to let Justin go first, but Cooper, are you ready for your we just talked. I mean, we just talked about Wales. Now you're going to talk about your displeasure in the NBA's time off.
Yeah, I should stay on brand, I guess. I just looking at the schedule, we're two nights off every game. I do think it's just a little bit crazy. Like, they should just play every other night. Maybe there's one 2-day break for to give a little bit of rest. But playing every other night is, to me, just such a better experience. You follow the series more. There's just not as much off time. You know, the game is only so long, and then there's only so much to talk about, you know, after the game to understand the storylines, and you just hear the same sort of speech over and over and over again. It's like, let's play the games at the end of the day. Let's play ball. So I wish they were one day off in between. Now that we have the Herzogbaugh bat, he'll give a lot more insightful information about the fact that his Suns are on the brink of elimination, and CP3 is going to have to step up his game if he's the leader of this team. They got a must win against their hands tomorrow.
I mean, Jrue Holiday has just straight up eliminated Chris Paul from this playoffs the past two, three games. I guess Chris Paul played well game three, but game four, he looked like he was on roller skates. He couldn't do anything. And then obviously game five, not only did he just cripple him throughout the game, but obviously that steal at the end. I don't know. I mean, like, it's unfortunate because I believe the Suns are a better team. I don't know. I mean, the Bucks are so good too. And so I guess for me, it comes down to my fandom, obviously, for the Chris Paul situation. I think him getting MVP is now a long shot, not only from a betting odds, just because even in the games that they've lost, Booker's put up mad points, 40 points the first two that they lost. I'm not exactly sure how much it was last game, but still obviously put up points. We'll see if they can pull it out. Maybe Chris can pull out that MVP too, which is just great to see him get a championship. I do think it is a very interesting conversation if Giannis does pull this out. Like, what does that mean from a career-wise for Giannis? Because at the age of 26, he gets his championship. He already has the MVPs. He'll have an MVP of the finals here. And I think what's most kind of attractive for a lot of people is that, like, he's done this in Milwaukee. Like, it's not like he's, you know, and obviously as a younger player, like, it's not easy to go team up and stuff, but he definitely has had that opportunity from when he signed the second contract. And he's made it very clear, like, he wants to stay in Milwaukee. And I don't think him staying in Milwaukee is going to turn into a destination for other studs to go play with him. So if he's going to keep doing this, like, he's going to do it with him being the star of that team and then role players around him. And for this year, I mean, like, Middleton is a fantastic role player for him with just being able to make those open threes. It reminds me of the days like when LeBron, and like what do you want to surround LeBron with in his younger years was guys who just kind of can make those threes and create their own shots on the outside. And that's what Middleton's able to do. And then the Jrue Holiday, just from a defensive standpoint, I think is fantastic. I'd be interested if anybody knows this in chat. How has Giannis's free throws been like in this series, because it really feels like he isn't, like, that hasn't been a talking point. I don't feel like the countdowns have really been impacting him. It seems like he's doing better there. Yeah, Chris Middleton's a role player. He's a beast. But like, Middleton's never going to be the best player on a team.
He's not a known name at the end of the day. Like, Chris Middleton's like, I don't know, an above average NBA player at the end of the day is how you would categorize him if all the teams in the league were playing. The other thing is, like, I see Malik and I see some others in the chat saying 2 days off gives better basketball. We're talking about the best athletes on earth. Like, you're telling me 24 hours is making that much of a difference? If Chris Paul is hurt, guess what? Chris Paul is still hurt. So don't give me this, like, oh, they need 48 hours BS. Like, they all get on their private jet. They go back to their house. They're in their house, in their home, in their bed within 5 hours of the game ending. Like, we don't need 2 days off. Play basketball. Let's go. Like, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and I mean, this is what it says it all when you look at the difference between games 5-6 and game 7. So game 5... 3 days. So 2 full days rest and then game on day 3. Game 6, 2 full days rest and then game on day 3. Oh, but for the finals, because it would be
Friday night.
It'd be Friday. Is it? Oh, it's 3 games 2? I thought we counted this, Coop, and it was yeah, it is. So it's just so many days off. Yeah, I don't know. It's you don't need that much time. And I get, like, with the travel, that's a lot. Yeah, it feels like there should be basketball on right now.
People are chirping us saying that we don't know that Chris Middleton's a beast at the end of the day, I guess.
I mean, I love the chart about Chris Middleton where, let me see if I can find it, but it's basically like, okay, Chris Middleton, he's been a Chris Middleton. He kind of, like, forget about him. He's not really relevant. Playoffs come around. He turns into Kobe. He turns into, like, Michael Jordan, whatever. He's now a superstar, and then we forget him about again. Like, yeah, he's Chris Middleton. Like, without a doubt, he's the second best player on a likely championship team. They would not have been able to do what they're doing without him. He's going to have some all-stars. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer. He's Chris Middleton, and he's perfect for that team. And so props, great for him. Most of his moments cost less than DeAndre Ayton, and I know that because I did the challenge analysis. So you guys are telling us what his value really is.
Love it. I definitely, one of the other things, and we tweeted about this the other day, but find it interesting how we're seeing the top shot market react accordingly, right? So the Bucks were down early in the season, and then you go to the teams page on our website, and you can see that they're now up 42%, the S2 Bucks team over the last 7 days. So I definitely think that that's good to see. I know that one of the kind of frequent, and you know, I'm sure that the quests impact this in some way as well. But I know that one of the things that we've always been hoping for is that we see more correlation between what's happening on the court and what's happening in the top shot market. And it's good that we're at least seeing a little bit of that here with the Bucks S2 and then the trickle down to the Bucks all. So just wanted to also call that out. And it's fun to look at this page and see that and how it impacts after each game.
And I mean, if you all want to get ahead of something and, like, think of as a medium short term, let's say medium term top shot investment, we've seen how the market has reacted to these challenger, I mean, not the challenge rewards, to these championship rewards. Because you didn't have the rookie situation of it being announced 3 different times and, like, the inflation and back and forth, like, it wasn't true when it actually came out. Here it was nice because it came out a surprise, and we've seen throughout this playoffs as the ebb and flows of the Suns and Bucks goes, like, people are actually valuing this. Hey, guess what people are also going to value? When there's rookie of the year, where there's MVP, when there's defensive player of the year, those are also going to be valued. But because we're in this top shot world where it's very highly engaged and it's active and there's challenges, there's quests, and I'm thinking about this and that, like, people forget about those things. But if they came out with the championship awards, don't you think they're probably going to come out with the MVP, the rookie of the year, those as well? And if you do believe that, when everyone else is zigging, everyone's thinking about this, let's go zag. Go collect those players for the LaMelo, for the Jokic. If you want to take that next step and go for the Gobert, if you want to take the next step and go for the holy crap, I'm blanking on what else do we have? Most improved, we have the Knicks. I'm blanking right now, but yeah.
Six man. Did you say six man?
Oh, defensive player.
I didn't. Well, I said Gobert. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on just the New York Knicks right now who got most improved, and I just hate myself for it.
Julius Randle,
baby. Julius Randle, yeah.
Yeah.
Julius
Randle. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like MVP and rookie of the year are without a doubt the top tier. Like, so much confidence that those are going to be
Julius Randle or Chris Middleton.
Oh God, Julius Randle.
Chat's still mad at you for the
Middleton. Yeah, I see
That's libraries in there.
One of the OG calling us out saying he's a top 30 player in the NBA, and there's 450 of them. All right,
Chris Middleton's top 30. Is that where we're going?
Library saying so, my friend.
That's what we got from library.
Ooh.
All right. You know, we may need to put Justin into the lab after this, and Justin can come out with his top 30. Actually, we should take a look at a box latest
OTM
rankings and see what they say. If you're able to pull them up over on your end, Justin, I think that would be an interesting
thing to
look at, actually. But
secretly, Bach is listening to this show afterwards, like shaking his head at these takes.
He probably is.
Chris Middleton's top 10% in the league in his rankings.
Middleton is definitely like a stud. I think I'm assuming what you guys are more getting at is that it's not like having Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving on one team, right? Or LeBron and AD. It's he's a very, very solid number two, but it's not necessarily the mega stud teams that we've seen. Right.
And actually, so on a team, who would I rather have of Julius Randle or Chris Middleton? I think if my team's already decent and I have another, you know, star player or something, I think it's probably Chris Middleton because as that complementary nature, it's fantastic. But if you need someone to create, like if you need the star of your team, like if you want to be that team that's going to maybe make the playoffs and get eighth place that no one actually wants, Julius Randle's probably your better player. And I think that's why Randle did so well with the Knicks and why Middleton's doing so well with an actual potential championship team. Okay, this is a little biased because this includes like career and some older players.
True.
But we're still going to do it. We're going to take a look. So let me share screen.
Right. Yeah, it's not necessarily the current players. It's their career ranking. But
right.
I'm curious to see. Oh, you're going to have to see. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there. Okay. You guys see that pretty decent?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right,
I'm curious to see where he is.
Yeah. So first at a high level, what these rankings are is so Bach puts these up. He updates them. I'd say so it looks like last one was 627. I know he's in the book. He said he was going to plan on doing one right after the season. So he'll put that update out. But this is like a pre-playoffs rankings. Then he'll do the post-playoffs. But the goal here is that, hey, for people who want to be involved in Top Shot but maybe don't have the most NBA knowledge, or maybe people are on a show and they get in a fight with people in chat and they want to make an argument on which player has more value in Top Shot, that's what these are. So it basically takes an evaluation of their career. He has an article on the site that actually talks about what the composite ranking is. There is a small factor around like social media aspect, around like, you know, what is their actual brand aspect, because we want to include that when we think about players. But here we go. So we're going down. So just some interesting names I want to throw out there. So
can you zoom in a little more?
Yeah. Even more.
I think some people can't see. There we go.
There we go.
So top 10. Not too surprising, I think. We got LeBron. We got some of the older guys. I really think it is interesting to have like Duncan and Dirk and Garnett right there. And I do think there is opportunity for someone like KD, had he won the championship this year, as he gets in the future, to kind of surpass those. But it's a really strong top. Let's start doing some scrolling. We got some fun names. So this middle row is kind of potential. So, we know Luka has such high upside, but right now he just hasn't really seen it. So we still got him around here. I have no idea how Embiid is this high. TJ, what'd you do to influence these rankings?
I hacked in.
Must have. All right. We're still going to go down. I like seeing we got some Chauncey. We got some Ginobili. My boy Dwight. Still got to keep going.
I forget how many of the older guys are like in Top Shot until you look at a list like this. Like,
yeah. And I mean, run it back. You got a decent amount.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of them are from the run it back.
Yeah. Vince Carter. This one's one that probably gets the most disagreement because as a career wise with such a long, illustrious career, we had his posters on the bedroom, but like, was he ever a top five player in the NBA during his career, top 10 even? I don't know, probably not. We're still going down. We've got LaMelo already past him with a 35 for this year, but huge upside. I like that. Ooh, Drew Holiday. That's interesting. We got Holiday above. Maybe Bach gives Middleton a little bump afterwards, but I think we're getting close. And there we go, 68, one above the nice 69.
So in fairness, there's probably 25 though that are, you know, some of the older guys that are ahead mm-hmm. of him there. So that puts him in the low 40s. Probably.
And I think if we talk to Bachman, especially with getting a ring this year, this 15% probably, you know, has the upside. So maybe this moves up to like a 60 or something, and then that stays as like a 10. So then we maybe move him up to about this area. I think that's fair. I don't know. It's interesting. I do think like top 30 is like probably at the brink of where he is. Would be interesting. I'll take a look to see, because not off my own knowledge, but just what other different ranking sites out there and stuff for like, is Middleton a top 30 player?
Good suggestion from Zach here, or from Ryan, misread his name there. Adding an indicator for current retired players. I think what we will look to do during the off season is get those rankings onto the OTM website. We can add some filters, all that good stuff. So that's going to be something that we do in the off season, because I think that'll be a fun time to look back. Also, shout out to Poker Pro Eric, just continuing to troll us today, letting me know that there's a run of back set. Thank you. Thank you for that. I was not aware. All right. Let's get into a little bit of what we've got going on, because we continue to have challenges. We continue to have quests. I know that we just had the most recent, and then there were four challenge released earlier today. And I believe do we have a finalized analysis here, Justin, fresh off the presses, or what's the current status that we're looking at?
Yeah. So we got two things. First, we're going to go into the Holo Icon 9 analysis, and this is more of a kind of strategy theoretical one. What we did with this is we did not actually release a Holo 9 analysis. Part of the reason why is because we like to do this occasionally, but it allows us to run the analysis behind the scenes, not publish it, and see how the market actually reacts. Because the MGLE and the Holo that right before it were ridiculously spot on, to the point of like less than 1% for each, it gave us a little concern that, hey, like, are these shaping the market too much? Were these spot on, not because they were actually accurate from an analytical sense, but because people kind of latched onto them, and especially because the Holo and MGLE is a fewer amount out there, it's a little more risk of that. So what we did is we did the analysis for Holo 9. That's what I will share right now. I have so many screens open, so hopefully, give me a second. Hopefully I pull the right one. Okay. So here's what it was. And what I did is I actually wrote out here, is this probably a little too small, right, TJ?
A little bigger would be good, yep.
Okay. So I want to start off with this top right, because this is kind of what I was typing up at the time. And for this challenge, almost every moment that was in it, except for Jalen, was, in my opinion, at about the price that I thought it should settle at, if you compare what the market says. So comparing to other market prices, it looked like there actually should not have been any movement in the prices after the challenge. However, whenever that's the case, we always still assume about an 18% baseline decrease. That's what we've seen for previous times where we're like, hey, the market says this moment is actually at the right price. It still ends up on average going down around 18%. So had we put out this projection, we would have just assumed for the most part around an 18% baseline decrease for just about all of the moments. Small modifications you can see here. The Jalen Brown was the one outlier where that was just too high priced. So when we looked at this analysis, what it basically would come out to is, okay, here's our low ask at the time. Here's where you take into that about 18%. And there's small modifications that we included based off what was, based off where we were seeing some of the other movement of the prices. And it came out to post-challenge value of 85.80, reward of 37.50, and like a solid plus AV, which is what we've seen from the Holo analysis is. The actuals ended up being 88.52, so about 300 more, missed by 3%, and then 300 less on the reward projected value, so missed by about 8%. So in total, this is still in that kind of similar range of what we'd expect for when we put challenges out. Still fairly accurate, but not dry, without any impact driving the price. And it kind of leads us to that same conclusion that we've had before, which was a good, good conclusion of whether or not we put out a challenge analysis, we still often see what the post-challenge prices settle at to be agnostic of whether or not we put the challenge analysis out. The one thing that changes, and I've said this before, is how quickly it gets there. So when we put the challenge analysis out, if it is way outlier, positive or negative, the market often reacts and just gets to what that future post-challenge price is quicker. And I think that just gives us a level of confidence that, you know, we're not really impacting the market with these from an eventual standpoint. It's just the people who kind of have the opportunity to see them first. People who are actually building them themselves before we put it out have an opportunity to really capitalize on these challenges. TJ, Coop, does that make sense? Are there questions in chat? I've got this full screen, so I can't see, but
no, that's not the most. I think that makes sense. Okay. It's good to see. And yeah, no questions from my end.
I thought this was interesting too, is like how far, so the two most expensive ones, you know, as I said, like, we kind of went with a narrow 18%. Here, we expected like a 30% decrease, and it even dropped even more. Like this, Jaylen Brown was just such an outlier. And then here you have Devin Booker. We expected about 20, and it actually only dropped like 15%. Just interesting to see. But then across, you know, averaging out, it still only gets to that 3%. And then it's a lot easier to do these cheaper ones because you're more just kind of guessing where you believe the floor of the challenge is going to, of that set is going to end. And then it's easier to compare where the kind of lower tier players are compared to the floor rather than trying to go for the middle or the top tier. Cool, cool.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it, love it.
Okay, let's now go to the... And then there were four challenge too. So this is the challenge that just started today. We already had an idea of what that challenge would be. So Neil had it on the site over the past couple of days, just kind of getting ahead of things. But we wanted to make sure the challenge analysis was a bit clean. So we just did that today. Let's see if I can show this image. Okay. Do you guys just see a white screen?
We saw the image for a second. Yeah, now we see your whole screen, and we saw the pictures that you sent. Coop.
All the I know. I don't know why that's happening. So I lost the picture. I'm sure I went back with him.
We saw for a second.
Yeah, me too. And then it just disappeared. Okay, I have it in a PowerPoint as well. I can pull it.
It was great pictures that you were sharing, Justin. A lot of outtakes at the end of the day when it comes down to putting out these graphics and getting this stuff ready to go.
Okay. Let's go from the current slide. All right. So for this challenge analysis, and as I said, we have not put anything on the site. Right after the show ends, we will publish it at the site. So we wanted to give the people who are watching it live a little bit of an advantage, you know, a first peek. We take a look at project completions. We saw the most previous one. And then there were four challenge analysis. One ended around like 340. I think maybe 320, 330. We had guessed it was 250, 350, so it fell in that range. The reward value here for the Ayton, and it's interesting because we're talking about Middleton. I think we end up seeing the Ayton settling a little more valuable than the Middleton. It's a bit counterintuitive because Middleton, you know, number two player, apparently might be a top 30, 40, 50, who knows, player, is about to potentially get a championship. But across the board for moments, we see that DeAndre Ayton's moments are anywhere between about 20% and like 100% more than Chris Middleton on the site. So that's why I think like there will still be some bias. And then we need to include the cool factor of the moment. It is the alley-oop. It is that last second, you know, tip in, dunk in, alley-oop in. And I think like that adds some value there. What's most notable for this challenge is the fragility.
The Herzig bot getting emotional on us, talking about the moment. Look at this, evolving.
We tried.
Evolving.
We tried. There was some grease involved, and you input. I went and saw the Wizard of Oz, and yeah.
Installation of a heart comes tough.
I need a little grease. I talked to the Scarecrow. He got me a heart. Yeah, we can add some emotion into these.
It's
into
a
these
sick moments. Play, though, man. That play was so.
It
sick.
Is. It is. It is definitely. I was curious if you were going to mention it. I definitely was going to, but it is a sick play.
It is. And so what's interesting, though, is the anchors of this challenge, the Devin Booker, the Chris Paul, and the challenge reward, DeAndre Ayton, are all Suns. And it's all Series 2, so they all have the opportunity to get that kind of championship badge as well. I think the market, for the most part, is down on the Suns right now, which aligns with Vegas odds, so that makes sense. But as this challenge doesn't end until Friday, which is before game seven, if there is one, but after obviously tomorrow's game, it's at $77 as an EV now, which I think is, even if the analysis, is a little off, like it's a decent challenge to complete. But if the Booker, the Paul, the Ayton, like if the Suns actually make this into a game seven, if they can pull that out, you'd expect these post-challenge estimates for all three of those players to be substantially higher than it is right now. So I think this sounds like a great challenge to a low risk challenge to complete, I would say. Obviously within any shot, anything top shot, there's always, you know, risk, isn't it financial advice, but just pulling the numbers and looking at the similar moments and things like that. I think it's a pretty decent challenge to complete. And
hang on. Just a quick correction. I think update here, right? The game seven would be Thursday though, right? And finals, this would end on Friday. So this would end, you would actually know. That's what we were saying earlier. You were counting 2 days, but I think between game six game on seven, Tuesday. Thursday,
that's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, game there. Seven is on Thursday. Yeah, one day off.
Okay, so two things there. One, let's go back to, that's what I was saying about the game seven. My point was going to be that we know that, like we say, it's like, okay, there were 2 days and then game five. 2 days, then game six. There's only 1 day in between game six and game seven because they didn't want to put the game on Friday night from a market wise. So like it's all about the players and getting additional rest.
I thought it was because they heard Coop rant and so they decided to
wait. I'm seeing not Thursday, but I'm telling you, I'm looking at Google right now. It says it's Thursday.
I thought it was Thursday too, and that's what we talked about, Bachman. That's why I was like, yeah, they don't actually care that much about the players if they're willing to do game seven on just 1 day of full rest because they don't want to have a game seven
and on a Friday.
Thursday, July 22nd, 9 o'clock ABC.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense, what we were talking about earlier. For this, that makes it even more interesting.
You'll be able to tell.
If we get to a game seven in real time, oh my gosh, now I'm excited for a game seven, just if that happens. The market movement of all of the series two moments from the Suns and Bucks in real time during game seven will be phenomenal. Not only for this challenge, but just in general, as people are trying to play the game of who's winning, who has the chance to get those championship badges. That would be an amazing couple hours of Top Shot, and I hope we are all fortunate enough to get that.
There's going to be a lot of sharps on NBA Top Shot buying and finding opportunities if this thing gets to game seven, that's for sure.
I will be just fiending and just not being able to just like, I just want to watch. I want to love it. Love to see it. Love to see it.
All right. I'm glad we got our days of the week figured out there. That'll be up on the website shortly.
Shout out Poker Pro Eric, though, too. We've been yelling at him. He's a troll. He's back trolling, but he's on our side here. He's saying so. They obviously don't care about the rest if, you know, game seven's only 1 day.
That's what I was trying to say. I like Robert Young's comment that the spike will happen for the Suns based on game six more so than seven, because, yes, if the Suns win game six, they will then be, I don't want to say substantial favorites, 4.5, 5 points at home puts them at something like a 55 to 60% chance, closer to 60. But let's say the Suns go down 10 early. Things are going to change during that game, like just how that is going. And now I'm just sad about the Suns getting
more
such
context
a big lead.
About the Thursday start, which makes complete sense because the Olympics start on Friday.
The Olympics actually start before that, but that's a whole other conversation.
True. That is confusing me too. I don't.
They do it every year. The opening ceremony is almost always after a day or two of the activity. So you see some like medals that are received prior to the ceremonies actually go off. Yeah. Withdrawals. Only withdrawals I don't have are from my account, though. That money's just sitting there.
All right. Anything else on challenges or quests? We didn't even talk about the quests. The Patrick Kanaan was probably the most extreme quest scenario or any scenario that we've seen. What was he up, like 300%?
Yeah, something like that.
Like 60 or 68 bucks or something like that was the top.
What's interesting is we haven't seen like a bottleneck that difficult, because usually for challenges, your comparison is at the most extreme is like a slash 35K and I think a slash 15K. which is what we saw with like the Dwight Howards and the Clint Capella. Maybe we then see like a 40K and something, but like we haven't even seen a 40K and a 12K. But now the thing that's different is not only this difference in a 40K and a 12K, it's more like a 100K and a 12K, because you don't need to own a specific moment. There are what, 39 different triple-double moments you can own. So you have a huge amount that you can, or no, this wasn't the triple-double. This was the, was this the top seven scores? I don't remember.
Yeah, there's so many questions.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was the score. I think it was the scores. I believe.
Like, you had to get the top seven. Okay, so still, okay, so that was like a challenge. But again, you're comparing like a slash 35, 40K to the 12K because it was only one out there, and yeah, it's high. It's high, and yeah, I think that is interesting. What Dr. Foger just showed, like, it didn't actually go back down to its base. So. Acceptably so, it increases in value, it increases in demand as this, you know, quest happens, but then you don't see
did I say the name wrong?
I don't know what you said, but
I said Connaughton.
Pat Connaughton.
Connaughton. And it was so funny, I started typing in Patrick and it wasn't coming up, and I was like, wait, his name's Pat, right? Then it was Pat. So I almost went 0-2.
Oh, that's which, cool. I know, like Connaughton. Connaughton?
Yeah, you guys don't listen to us for name pronunciations here. Come on, guys. There's a lot of random players in the NBA that I don't even plan on talking about, and then all of a sudden there it goes. And then I'm just
going. And if we always got it right, guys, you wouldn't be able to jam into the chat that yeah, he is just a flat out fish. He has no idea what this guy's name is. What fun is that?
Oh, Poker Pro Eric with a sharp advice. Pat C. You can't lose.
I'm assuming he paid you to say his name 10 times. I feel like I'm on Super Troopers. Meow. License and registration.
Connie,
meow.
I like that. Connie, I'm just going to, yeah, I should just start going with all hockey nicknames. Just adding a Y to the last of every, like, oh, yeah, Connie.
Can we do a quick hockey reference? Do you guys see what?
Brock is going to come to the chat yelling at us again.
Do you guys see what Cooch was signing stuff with?
I did not.
14 million over cap. Apparently, so okay. There's never mind.
Yeah, I didn't see this.
I did not see this.
Explain at this point.
Lightning got around a salary cap issue by putting Cooch on for his hip injury throughout the regular season. When you get into playoffs, there's no salary cap for the playoffs. You can bring a player on. People were complaining the Lightning were $14 million over the salary cap because of that. And so he's just leaning into it and was signing stuff as just 14 million over cap. And I think it's beautiful.
Oh, this is great. Chat's good tonight. They're keeping us on our toes for sure. Oh man. All right. What else do we got?
Let's go Avatars. Let's get the fun going.
Let's go Avatars.
I'll
let you
guys take this for a bit.
All right. So we got our friend of the podcast, Mr. Moment Nerd, came out along with Beas Brain. Oh, boy. Beas Brain. Hopefully that's the proper pronunciation. I'm not familiar with whoever that is, but Moment Nerd, good guy. Someone that I've actually had some one-on-one conversations with as well. And I remember when he was discovered back in
It's really a sad discovery story.
Because it never came to fruition.
I know.
But he's been on the map ever since. Moment Nerd, obviously super popular for all the awesome work he does with the showcase quests and helping people check out whether or not their quests are eligible. And then they came out with this awesome project where you can go ahead, type in your Top Shot username, and then create an avatar from the moments that you have in your collection. So let's check it out. Check out my, and it's actually been, I've been playing around with this, and it's kind of fun because it makes me wish that I had moments that I don't like. I wanted a Joel Embiid rare avatar, and then I don't even have one. I just have a bunch of commons. And like, avatars aren't exclusive, it's just a common.
Thank you.
So yeah, you guys can go momentnerd.com/avatar, type in your username, can sort by tier, any player. They got you hide in the base at the start because, again, the rare one. I mean, if I was Justin, I'd probably just be rocking a Dwight Howard avatar here. We can go ahead, generate that.
It's not bad. You know what I'd really be rocking. Like, Dwight Howard, obviously. But right now, it'd be number 61. It'd be number one.
Number 61
one
of, CP.
One of the CP361. Need to give him all the additional just oomph. That does look cool, though. That's really nice.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. So did I see that right? It is, and it looks like chat's saying that too. It's rares and above, right? You can't do the.
Oh, you literally can't. I didn't even try it earlier. I
had saw that, but I'm not exactly sure.
Says you can show it, but what? Then you can't. I mean, here's.
Oh no, there. Yeah, it looks like you can.
I thought I was looking at it earlier. You can do that.
That's sweet.
You can base set it up.
And then do you need the moment? Like I saw someone did like the number one LeBron, right? And they were like adding dingling. I don't know if that can't remember who that was on Twitter.
I guess if I went and typed in that my username was dingling,
then I can
do whatever I want, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's probably what people did if that's what they're doing. Yeah. So if you wanna fake flex, you can just type in look at just all number ones.
All right. So next we're gonna work with Moment Nerd to get some validation behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Make sure that you need to validate your account. Agreed. So it'll only generate it for if you own it. But then the obvious is what if you sell it after that? So next thing you know, we're all just pretending we're 12-year-olds.
Oh. Coop, what would you rock? You'd probably rock a
Reggie
Bullock.
Let's see the Reggie. I want to see what it looks like. Maybe
what is your thing? Producer_Coop?
Producer_Coop, yeah.
We know what he would rock. Definitely has to be the Kobe.
Can you put 50% of the Kobe in there? Can I put 50% of the Kobe in? I can't claim that's fully mine, unfortunately. Y'all.
Steal the overs at.
I do like to forget about the fact that I only own 50% and then look up my account. It's great.
Here he is.
Ooh, that's the 69 one, 69.6.
You know it. Hashtag nice.
Hashtag LeBron. Oh, it'd be cool if LeBron was in that, right?
Oh, yeah. Why is LeBron not in the back of that or something? Behind my boy.
We need to find those assists that it's really just a LeBron moment and see if we can get him in the avatar. let's see what the Kobe would look like. Let's pull up the Kobe for Coop, and then we can figure out how do we slice it in half.
Let's see. Yeah, give me half the Reggie and half the Kobe tribute.
Oh, yeah. The old 828. Yeah.
I guess I could use the double jersey number. I mean, but we'll wait until after Chris Paul.
This would definitely be the one. Coop.
It's only a common. I forget. But yeah.
I kind of like that it's only the common. But you know.
For common folk, producer Coop, I love it.
Exactly.
Man of the people, the people's champion. Or again, as we're going to find out soon, the not so much of a champion. But yeah, I mean, we just wanted to share this. We thought it was fun. Thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome.
Lots of people coming up with creative ideas out there. And this is definitely a cool one. So shout out to Moment Nerd.
This is like the Bayest Brain guy's like fourth or fifth thing that he shared that has been just absolutely awesome. The idea that you could like he put in there, you could customize like your own experience based on what tags you had, I think was one of the things he came up with. Like definitely some awesome like customization of your own portfolio of moments that he's come up with. So shout out to that guy who's putting in some work behind the scenes to make some of this stuff happen for sure.
Yeah, no, he's definitely the brains behind this. Moment Nerd was very gracious to use his site, and I'm sure there was a lot of additional back-end stuff to get the moments and such. But yeah, Bayes has done some great stuff. Top shot, go hire him. I don't know if he's actually interested in looking for a job, but no, he's done some great, cool ideas from a design user X, user I experience. User interface experience probably isn't right, but that's fine.
Love it.
Are you roboting right there? People. I was confused where that was going for a second. I was like, oh, now I get it. Got it.
Yeah. All right. What else do we have?
What do we've got? We got
Art and Athletes.
Giveaway. We got our giveaway.
Okay. We got that. So first off, let me introduce this a little. Yeah. Because I think some people saw on Twitter, and it's just kind of a project that I'm personally passionate about and we're going to continue to develop out. But a lot of the stuff that we do is really around the Top Shot and around the community and around building these shows and the website and all that. But there are some other cool things that we're working on. And one of those is right now user interface design. There are things. And one of those that we are working on right now is looking to connect some of these NFT and digital artists with athletes that are looking to get into NFTs and NFT projects. And specifically, a lot of the opportunity is around the college athletes now that the NIL allows for them to be compensated for their name, their image, their likeness. And a lot of them don't have that huge, you know, following, that huge brand, that huge marketing opportunity. And so for the 1% of college athletes that are going to be able to get those Nike, the Gatorade deals, they're always going to be able to get them. That's fine. But there's still 99% of other college athletes that don't have those opportunities. And we think that NFTs are an amazing way to give them control over their brand, give them control over their distribution, give them control over when they do this, how they do it, how much they charge, how much they make, all these aspects that really give control to the college athletes. And one of the ways to do that is what we want to do is pair them and give them the opportunity to select from a range of digital NFT artists that they connect with. And so what we've done is we put out a call and we're continuing to work with, continuing to find, continuing to kind of scout out who are some of those best NFT digital artists out there. So then athletes can kind of flip through and be like, hey, this is the one, these are the ones that I connect with the most, and let's put those people together and help them actually launch some NFT projects. So what I'll do, I'm going to share one slide of just some of the amazing artists that we've seen so far that have contacted us, that have reached out. Let's see. Some of them are graphics and such. Some of them are just really cool. And I think it allows to show like the creativity of the creativity as well as like the customization that the athletes are able to choose. Like, hey, what connects with you? Some of you might actually notice some of the artists in here. Some of these are, there were videos at least. I don't know if they stopped playing, but they'll keep going for a little. But just some really cool stuff. And this is something we'll continue to do. But without going too much into it, just wanted to share that because we now have a giveaway for people that kind of helped out and kind of spread the word around this. And I'll pass that over to Coop.
Yeah, let me find the right wheel here. I've been jamming names in the chat. People that have been active tonight, whether they're chirping us or they're showing some.
Wait, they're chirping. People are still
getting their name
out, Pat.
Time out. So this is for the people who were Twitter. You have that one?
You know it, Justin. I got it.
He's got it.
Find the right one here.
He's got it. Chat's still chirping. Also, I saw someone chirping me about, I guess, library's name showed up in my dropdown. Yeah, the guy's got a lot of moments. So when I do testing, I use library. I use your account a lot when we're doing testing on our website because we try to make sure that that's all it is, people. We use people like library that's got all the most moments. My goodness, everything's a freaking conspiracy or something. A
lot of detectives.
That's all
out
it
there.
Is. My goodness.
A lot of Sherlock Holmes in the NFT space these days, and good for them. So this is the artist. So this was the retweets on our tweet. That was basically almost a month ago at this point, at least 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, about, yeah, something like that.
Pretty good number here. We got 298 names.
CJ Minor. I see Evan Tan. I see some regulars.
That's
this is a LeBron moment. This is a
long LeBron assist. Which one is this?
I think that's right. I'll confirm which one it was in the tweet to make sure we give out the right one. But yeah.
Library is also 12. I like Ryan's comment. You guys are very popular.
We have seen.
We had to let this thing run for 20 days to be able to get this number of retweets. You know, you got to play it up sometimes. All right, let's get to it. This is for a LeBron moment, which are always coveted, no matter which one it is. So good luck, everybody.
Spin.
Luck.
Let's see. Will it be a name we recognize? TJ Coop. What do you say?
I think it's going to be an Anon.
President. It's an Anon.
JB, I don't know, good initials, but
President JB.
All right, congratulations. We will find you on Twitter and gift you that moment. Should we?
Library said, "I hope I win." That would have just been fantastic. After that, be like, "Yep, it was all planned."
Yeah, I know there's a lot of iRacer in here. I think my favorite was an iRacer tweeted out after the whole trip that he got a whole row to himself on the airplane, and look how lucky he is. good. Okay, we got a pack to rip. We got to have some fun. We got to give some moments.
I definitely got packs to rip, for sure. I got All-Star packs. Yeah,
let's go.
Definitely.
How are we going to go about the gifting process?
Has he not been doing the wheel? Probably not.
I was assuming not.
I have been. Of course I have been.
Yeah, of course.
Still on the show. That's impressive.
Come on, man. Come on, man. This is not amateur hour here.
Chirp, chirp.
Wow. Shout out, producer Coop.
Give me at least a little bit.
While Coop gets that ready, let's do a quick underdog. I know we're running close on time.
Oh, yeah. Let's inspire
Coop. You know, just let's make him feel better before opening some bags.
Oh, my goodness. Let's do it. All right. The underdog pick 'em. Let me make sure that I share the right one. I think this is it. All right. Underdog, pick them last week.
I had. Oh, yeah.
Before we had Doc on the show.
After all that, guess who picked Chris Middleton? Because he's a top 30 basketball player in the NBA right now.
And he wins with it.
Let's go.
This was the first. I dead flat on Devin Booker. 5'7"5. Yeah. A week ago, 5'7"5 today. Producer Coop just minus 18%. I mean, you don't even miss by a little bit. It's just like if people were taking your advice, you'd be breaking homes. Like,
well, you better be careful, Coop. You may get hired at Barstool.
Oh,
lots of jabs out there.
My. Oh, and that brings the total. Me and Justin tied with 4. The guests at 3. The guests are drawn dead this week, which is good for Justin and I. So no, really,
let's give it a chat. Let's give it all, a chat. Chat's got to come up with something.
Okay, chat. Over the course of the next whatever, put who you want to pick for this week's moment, and we'll give one to you guys. And yeah, we'll get into ours. I don't think I did the thing, so we'll just jump right into it. I went with Jrue Holiday. We talked about him earlier on the show. Guys just playing some strong basketball. I also saw that he was like one of the furthest down over the last 7 days, which I was a little bit surprised by.
Same with Lopez.
I figured that combination, I was like, I mean, obviously it's a moment from when he was not on the Bucks, but could get a little bump if they get the championship this week. So Jrue Holiday is my guy. That's really great. Shocking. We get to hear Coop explain his pick. Yeah. This is going to be good.
How was Jrue Holiday down after that steal?
He was down like 18% on the week. It was almost as if Coop picked him.
And it was the
exactly,
week.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not like things bounced back from like, oh, he took a spike because like,
right.
I think all the games, the big games this past week, which was why, you know, similar reason I took Brooke Lopez. And I'm just like, hey, you've got a player who's about to go likely win a championship. Way too cheap for his top shot debut, gets a championship here, has a little momentum. End of the day, just too cheap of a moment right now. But not as cheap as Reggie Bullock.
The trolls in the chat are actually pretty good. I certainly was not invited to the op party, just so you guys know. But yes, in daily fantasy sports, I'm always looking for the 1% guy that's going to hit a home run. So that's what I like to do, my friends. When you want to burn money, truly burn money, just follow some of the picks that I have. So Reggie Bullock is legit the floor. He is legit the S1 floor. So go ahead, sell him off. Go ahead, lower the entire S1 floor. Go ahead. That's what I want to see.
Again,
I believe he was $19 earlier today.
So I'm going to help Coop. This Reggie Bullock is really just a steal from LeBron. So it's just the cheapest S1 LeBron moment you can buy.
Sergeant Stogie with the, it's not a GPP, it's a cash game. Cash games are just wastes of dollars. You don't even get a sweat to win like a lot of money. It's just like, holy crap, I might double. Like, you know, it's like, might as well play one-handed blackjack. At least get it over fast.
Robert Young says, wait, Reggie Bullock was a real pick. I don't know if we got any kind of consensus from the chat.
Well, no, I'm pivoting. We're going to have people after the show put it in the YouTube comments.
Oh, that's easy.
That'll give them more time. Give some more time for those as well. And also, it's a lot easier for us to keep track, and we can see which is the highest choice after like a day or two. And then that'll be the pick for you guys, which don't take too long. I don't want you guys cheating and going after someone who has big movement. It's got to come in basically by like tomorrow before the game. All right.
Oh.
Rip them, Coop.
What do we want to rip here? I got
what's in the vault.
Let me make sure I share audio.
Coop's gonna crash a whole series.
Getting super trolled. I like the one that says $19 above where the floor should be. All right. I mean, I'm giving away the one of the playoff moments here. So what do we, you guys want the third, I assume, the series three or the series one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Go series.
Want you burning as expensive a moment as possible. Here we go. Hit the like button, chat. We don't have enough likes. Hit the like button while Coop opens a pack. Or else he'll refuse to gift it. I mean, he won't actually do that, but still like
so
it.
Wait, what's in this? Is this two playoff moments or just one?
I believe it is two playoff moments and a 60% chance of getting around 3-1.
Yep.
All right. So let's gamble. Let's gamble a little bit then. So we'll give the first playoff moment that pops up, whether it's like the best or the worst one. We'll give the first one that pops up.
Okay. Watch right, it be like a number one cereal, or it's just gonna be the nuts.
People, I mean, if it's nuts, it's the nuts for, you know, these people that are in the chat. Good for them. All right. Here we go. Where are we going? 3-2-1.
3-2-1.
Where are we going?
3-2-1.
That's 3-2-1.
3-2-1. All right. First playoff moment's going to somebody.
Let's see.
Oh, number 82. That's a pretty solid playoff moment.
Kenrich, welcome.
Nice cereal. Kenrich. Nice cereal for the people.
Number 82 for the chat.
This isn't a playoff moment, right? This is the common, right?
That was just the common. And
it was a 12,000, so I assumed it was a first.
And a top shot debut, nice.
Yeah, OKC obviously did not make the playoffs. Kind of missed that
part. Yeah, I was like, the Thunder weren't in the playoffs, so that's not the one. All right, let's go to
number 8385.
Kendrick Nunn.
That's going to be a first-round playoff moment. Yeah, Heat first box.
Pick six.
That'll probably be his last moment as a Heat player.
Good steal.
Kind of cool.
All right. Number one.
Here we go. Number 10, 5-6-7, Will Barton. Oh.
Will Barton.
Remember when Will Barton was like the most desired player during the Cool Cats?
Yeah.
Those were the days. Those were the glory days.
$300 to $400 for like a slash 15K Will Barton, whatever it was.
Truly the glory days of Top Shot.
All right. So Kendrick Nunn is going, and do we want to raffle now, or you guys had something to rip or what?
I think we're at an hour. Raffle it. Yeah, let's run the wheel.
We got a meeting in 20 minutes. I gotta join. TJ just cracking.
Yes,
wheel.
late hours here at OTM, you know, nothing like 10 p.m. weekly Monday night meetings, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
All right, let me open up the other wheel here. Someone's definitely going to be like, hey, my name is not on this wheel.
For sure.
Probably right. And then our response
is... They should have chatted more.
Yeah, you got to chat. You got to be chatty. Also, we didn't get Space Jam talk. So while you're doing this,
we're
going to do some Space Jam talk. First off, have you guys seen it? Should you guys watch the movie?
I didn't get a chance to watch it yet.
I did not get a chance.
I have it on the list for this week.
Of course I did. We need to update the rankings.
Someone did their due diligence.
Right, because like we put out the rankings, but like you got to watch the game. Like you got to study the tape. And we learned some things from the tape. So there's been some movement in the rankings, we'll say. First off.
Spoiler alert.
Right, I'm going to be careful here.
Oh, yeah. But good point.
Foghorn was ejected from the game. You can't get ejected from the only game that matters in the entire movie and expect that you're going to have a high ranking. Good news is I don't think he actually has any moments that are NFTs. So they did their due diligence for us by not giving him an NFT. Otherwise, he would have gotten really down there. Moving up the rankings, Porky Pig came in with dropping some hot beats. And turns out you drop beats, you drop a mic, like that gives you points in this NBA game. So Porky Pig moving up the rankings showed a little spunk that we did not expect. Tweety, it's not the most impressive performance. Starts off with a face slam, just kind of gets walked over and just doesn't do enough to make up for Tweety just not really being there.
Guys, shocker. I had the Tweety NFT, so of course, you know. Just a huge shocker there.
I get it. And then the number one most disappointment of it movie with regards to these NFTs was all about Daffy Duck. Just doesn't do anything. Just kind of is annoying. Isn't helpful. Doesn't provide any value on the court. Really just kind of bothers people the entire time. Like, I thought that we were... Is it Daffy Duck or Donald Duck? I don't actually know which one. Well, but really just doesn't do a great job. Really just kind of just annoys. And that's not a good team player. Not going to be a good performance. And the final one, moving up the rankings... Arguably the MVP of the game, Wile E. Coyote. He pulls an amazing move, a cloning move that you're not ever going to see again. And so many points on the board. Like, I'm not saying who won this game, but if a team won this game, it might have, it 100% was because of Wile E. Coyote and what he's been able to do. So when you can get him as a partnership with the Roadrunner, that is a must-have moment, and that spikes up the board. Wile E. Coyote.
Wile E. Coyote. Let's go.
Wile E., baby. I have Wile E. In my portfolio as well. I got Tweety and Wile E. So my 11-month-old son just has his first two NFTs. So there we go.
He should drop an NFT project.
All right, before we get too far off track, let's give away this Kendrick Nunn. I tried to pick up a few more people. Let's share screen here. So someone,
I don't think Jonathan even realizes how funny this comment is. Will your movie ticket and popcorn be a tax write-off as it was work related? So I can just see Justin submitting an expense report.
$4.80.
He's like,
So, well, all my cable is already a write-off for DFS because
Justin writes everything off, guys. If you want a tax sharp season, you got to go.
Poker Pro Eric said he already took a nap today, so he doesn't want to take another one. We don't need tax strategy here.
But yeah, if you for DFS, if you, run it as a business, your internet and watching the games and doing the research is a write-off. But I don't think my HBO counts in that, so not going to be a write-off. Just got to pay those bills.
All right, chat. Let's get someone the Kendrick Nunn, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Kendrick Nunn. I'm adding a few last minute people that I know their names, so let's add these 8 of 5. Josh Holmes. All right. John Holmes. Josh Holmes.
We are at our peak. We are at our peak pretty much our peak watching right now. The people are just coming at the end for the giveaway. Is that what's going
this
down?
Classic, this is classic Rent Seeker shit right now. Just like the goddamn
MBL would just be fired up right now. Just
like the stream, please.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're gonna Rent Seek at the end, at least come in and like the stream, please. We gotta at least.
Here's the funny thing. They're probably actually watching from the beginning of the show and just catching up, and they're not listening at all. So hopefully they're catching up on chat and just seeing it.
Library, true. But if he wins, certainly not gifting it to Library. I'm sure he'll come up with something awesome. He'll come up with some awesome giveaway for sure. But he's in here. I hope it lands on his name. All right, here we go. Kendrick Nunn playoff moment. Good luck, everybody.
Spin that wheel. I promise you, it's spinning. You just can't see because of Coop's computer.
Yeah, you.
Oh, we're stopping on Philly.
Philly.
Oh, Philly special.
Philly. Oh,
little BDE, little TJ. TJ, are you back in Indy?
I am. Yeah, I'm in.
Is this the new setup? I think you're in a.
I'm just in a hotel room right now.
Is that a shower curtain behind you?
That is not.
No, it's the real curtains.
Sorry for disappointing people with no low clock today.
Well, congratulations, Philly. Congrats, know the deal. Philly. Shoot our Twitter. Shoot us a DM. Let us know your top shot name. We'll add you to our spreadsheet and gift you a Kendrick Nunn next week after the 7 days. I can't believe it.
I cannot believe it.
Collins BK, you missed it. It's not. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. Unreal. Let's get out of here.
Take us home,
please.
Thanks, chat. Fun time tonight.
Hey,
we'll be back.
Did anybody in chat bid on some shoes today? Because I definitely saw a couple names that I recognized. Brilliant Green was in there. There were a couple from our Discord.
Yeah.
There were some ASICs. I might have snagged one below the reserve. We'll see if it goes through. But that was fun. But shout out to anyone who was in those auctions, because I saw a couple of your guys' names.
Grinding all the streets, just picking up whales, picking up shoes, picking up all the things.
12-year-olds.
Jesus. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone. We're gonna call it. Meeting. We're gonna shut it down. On behalf of Justin, on behalf of Producer Coop, I'm TJ Lasig. We'll see you guys next time.